Good morning. It's a beautiful morning, and fall is here. If you had any doubts the last day or two, if you got up this morning fairly early, not real early, but kind of, it was white. Good frost, little freeze this morning. There's a great hope among us that the pollen will be better. Maybe. Remember, the 13th, 14th, and 15th of November is our retreat. And we need to get signed up for that so we can get all our preparations made. And Dan has a sign-up sheet. Is it posted somewhere, Dan? Dan has it personally. You need to personally see Dan. He's a little hard to find in a crowd, but maybe you can pick him out. And go ahead and sign up. So we can be making preparations. Hope that you'll come and go with us. David Dunn will be speaking for us at our retreat. Ben will be cooking. It doesn't get much better. So we'll have a great time, and hopefully it'll be a beautiful weekend. So let Dan know. That's $40 a person. That covers food, room, board, everything. If you want to just come up for Saturday and stay with us, that's $20. And you can come and spend the day with us on Saturday. But this is a pretty nice place. Now, I'm not misleading you like a fellow we had in the past, Mr. Helton. I'm telling you the good stuff, but these are heated and central heat and aired buildings that we stay in. And it's comfortable and a beautiful place. So hope that you'll come and be with us for the whole family. So November 13, 14, 15, make plans to be with us. We'll talk about Passover today, the celebration of Passover, the events that led to Passover. But I want you to think about something as we begin. As we think about Passover, and we're in the midst of talking about the feast that Israel celebrated. And I want you to think about tying a string on your finger. I don't know if you've ever tied a string on your finger. I've never tied a string on your finger. But I often tell people around me, help me remember to. Do you ever do that? Help me remember to do this. Help me remember to pick this up. Help me remember to do whatever has to be done. So why would someone tie a string on their finger? To remind us of something, right? Well, I want you to remember that as we talk about these feasts, and especially Passover. I want you to think about the string tied around your finger, because that's part of what the celebration of Passover is about. And we'll talk about that hopefully this morning. If not this morning, we'll talk about it next week. But you think about the string tied around your finger. So if I don't get to it this week, guess what? Next week we'll have that string, and you will remember to make sure I tell you about the string. But hopefully we'll get to it here in just a few minutes. Passover is the remembrance, the celebration, the commemoration of the final plague that delivers Israel from Egypt. Okay? You remember, it's the 10th plague that comes upon the Egyptians. It is the death of the firstborn among the people, the firstborn of all of the animals. It is the death of the firstborn. Israel is spared from death not because they are Israelites, stay with me, but because they followed what God told them to do. Okay? They followed what God told them to do, because Moses knows that the plague is coming. And so he tells Israel what they are to do so that death won't come to them and to their house. As Moses records for us in Exodus, kind of looking back on the event in Exodus chapter 12, the first thing that Moses begins to talk about as they prepare to observe, or as they prepare for the Passover, not just the celebration of the Passover, but as they prepare for this evening where death is coming on Egypt, where judgment, and this is the words of Moses, where judgment is coming on the gods and the people of Egypt. Okay? Judgment is coming on the gods and the people of Egypt. And the first thing in some detail that God instructs them to do is to get the lamb ready. First thing. Get the lamb ready. Tells them what month it's going to be. He says, this is going to be for you the first month of the year. And get a lamb, a year old, without blemish, without spot, and set it aside on the 10th day of the month. They're going to kill him on twilight on the 14th day. But they're going to take care of the lamb for 4 days in preparation for sacrificing to eat this lamb of the Passover. And how they do that and its significance is of extreme importance. And we're going to see that continue into the New Testament, right? Probably not news for you. That we're going to see this significance. But it becomes highly significant as they prepare for the Passover that the lamb is selected and prepared. And so each household is to have a lamb unless the household is too small to eat the whole lamb. And if they are, then they are to join with their nearest neighbor and they're to have enough lamb for the number of people that are going to be there. And so at twilight on the 14th day, they are going to slaughter the lamb and roast it over a fire. And God is very specific. He said, don't eat it raw. Don't eat it boiled in water. Eat it roasted over a fire. Be very careful not to break its bones. And you are to eat all of it. And if you can't eat it all, the next morning you are to burn what's left. Okay? The lamb is going to be completely eaten or completely consumed. And they're to eat it with their clothes on, with their coats tucked in their belts, with their shoes on and standing up. Because why? It is the Lord is going to deliver them and they are to be ready to go. They're to eat it with bitter herbs and with unleavened bread. And there's a week celebration here, or a week commemoration, in which they, part of that is the taking of the Passover meal. Now, God has told us early on the significance of blood. The significance of blood. And so they are to take this blood of this lamb that they have slaughtered, and they are to put it on the doorpost and the top and the side doorpost of their houses. All right? And when God sees that, as he passes through Egypt, he will not let the destroyer enter. All right? Death of the firstborn is coming throughout the land of Egypt. But when God sees the blood of the lamb, death will pass that house. They will be saved from the plague that's coming. So this is not just about birthright, except being who they are privileged to have this knowledge, but they've got to make this sacrifice and put blood over the doorpost. All right? So that the death of the firstborn won't come to them. So that's what Israel does. And judgment comes to Egypt. Judgment comes to Egypt. And there is death of the firstborn among the animals and among the people in the land of Egypt who did not have blood over the doorpost. It says the Egyptians woke up in the night and there was moaning and wailing because death had come to every house. From the house of Pharaoh to the lowest house in the land of Egypt, no one was spared from the death of the firstborn. Now, the commemoration of Passover is not a celebration of the death or the victory, really, over their enemies. It is a celebration of God's deliverance of Israel. And that is different. That is different. It is a celebration of deliverance. That God had spared them, that God had delivered them, that God had saved them, not only from the death of the plague, but now God is going to free them from the slavery, the bondage of Egypt. And really now, this nation has formed in Israel, but it is the calling out of Egypt of this nation, this people that God has called, that God called in the time of Abraham, remember? Now this nation has formed, and God is going to carry them to the land that he had promised to Abraham, remember? This is the covenant made to Abraham. And now God is delivering them out of Egypt and carrying them to this land of Canaan, to this place he's going to send them, and in it will be this city where God is going to put his name. And it plays significance. It plays significance in the celebration of Passover. Because now God has delivered them, redeemed them, if you will, from the bondage of slavery in Egypt, and is leading them to the land of promise. And so that's what Passover is celebrating and commemorating. Let's look in the 12th chapter of, or the 13th chapter, Rob, you're right. 12 is where we've been. Let's go to 13, because we're going to spend actually a couple of three chapters where Moses will talk about Passover. That's pretty significant. Because if you've been reading through the Bible with us, and many of you have, I mean, an event that gets more than a few verses is pretty major, right? Carrie is reading through it again for class, and, you know, how quickly through Genesis we get. By Genesis 6, where are we? Genesis 6, we're already to the flood, right? The first five books of Genesis cover from creation all the way to Noah. But here we've got, in Exodus, several chapters that are spent on Passover and on its celebration because it has extreme significance. Moses said to the people, "Commemorate this day, the day you came out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, because the Lord brought you out of it with a mighty hand. Eat nothing containing yeast today. In the month of Abib, you are leaving. When the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites." Where's that? It's the land of promise, right? It's where they're going. "The land he swore to your forefathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey. You are to observe this ceremony in this month. For 7 days eat bread made without yeast, and on the seventh day hold a festival to the Lord. Eat unleavened bread during these 7 days. Nothing with yeast in it is to be seen among you, nor shall any yeast be seen anywhere within your borders. On that day tell your son, 'I do this because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt.' This observance shall be for you like a sign on your hand and a reminder on your forehead that the law of the Lord is to be on your lips. For the Lord brought you out of Egypt with his mighty hand. You must keep this ordinance at the appointed time of year." All right. He's telling them to celebrate this as they go into their new land. It is the reminder of what God has done. Let's talk a moment about yeast. Because they are to celebrate the Passover with bread without yeast. Okay? And when we celebrate the Lord's Supper in just a few moments, we'll celebrate with unleavened bread. Because it is at the Passover feast that Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper. What we know is the Last Supper was the celebration Jesus had with the apostles of the Passover. Okay? That's what they're doing. So, we read about, from 1 Corinthians, about yeast, right? And they're to have no yeast in their bread as they celebrate the Passover. What is the significance of that? Well, in the 1 Corinthian passage, this not having yeast among us and realizing that things are new, this is what we are, is set in the midst of a passage discussing sexual immorality in the church. That's what Paul is discussing in Corinth. And in the midst of that, he is saying that we shouldn't have the old yeast among us, which is what? Malice, immorality, wickedness is what he's saying. Yeast represents sin. That's its representation. And so to have no yeast among them is to cast sin out. Don't have sin a part of our lives under the new covenant. As we celebrate the sacrifice of Jesus, the Passover lamb, we'll talk about that some more, that Jesus is our Passover lamb, that there should be no yeast among us. Just like in celebrating the Passover, no yeast in your meals. In our lives as Christian, there should be no yeast among us. Now, does that mean we can't eat yeast rolls? Thankfully not. Thankfully not. Right? Bacon and yeast rolls. I'm good with both. But what does it mean? It means we shouldn't have sin and wickedness among us. Because what does yeast do? And they knew this. We know it. Hopefully we know it. Maybe we don't know it as significantly as we used to know it, because it's easy to go buy a loaf of bread at the grocery store, isn't it? It is. Many of us maybe haven't seen much bread other than we've seen it here, but maybe not have seen a lot of bread cooked at home. I'm not knocking anybody's habits. I'm just saying it's just easy to go get, you know. We even have the saying, it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. So there is some significance to that. But the reason I say that is because if you grow up with bread being cooked at home, what happens? Sometimes it rises, sometimes it does not. And, you know, mom or grandmother or wife says, "Ah, my bread didn't rise." That's what leaven does. And does it take very much yeast to work in bread? It doesn't. And that's the significance, that a little yeast affects the whole loaf. And so Paul's admonition, Paul's instruction to the church at Corinth is, don't have sin and wickedness among us, because a little defiles the whole loaf. It affects everything. And so we should purify our lives and live holy, because Christ, the Passover lamb, has been offered for us. And we live differently. And so the leaven of sin and worldliness shouldn't be a part of our lives and our practice. And so the celebration of Passover was not only a remembrance of what happened in Egypt, not only a remembrance of their deliverance from bondage, from sin, from death, but the way they took of it reminded them of the lamb, and the lamb that was coming, and the lamb now in the time of Corinth that had been offered. And the unleavened bread reminded them of the necessity of us freeing our lives from sin and from the human nature, the earthly nature, the worldly nature, and the effect that it has in our lives and living lives that are pure and holy and godly. So all of that has significance. All of that has significance. We're going to talk about the string on your finger next week. I want you to think about it this week. We'll talk about it next week as we continue to talk about Passover. And let's talk about its significance in the New Testament. Because what happens at the death of Jesus? When is that? It's at Passover. And that is not without significance. Where is it? It's in Jerusalem. It's not without significance. That starts all the way back in the book of Exodus. And we're going to talk about that next week, about Jesus as the Passover lamb. Who does what? Who shed his blood, who gave his life. Because Israel wasn't just saved because they were Israel, right? It's important for us to remember this. They were not. It was not that the plague did not come to where the Israelites were. It did. Death of the firstborn came to all over Egypt. But they were spared when the Lord saw the blood on the doorpost. It was not their geographic region or their birth, their descendancy from Abraham. It was the blood on the doorpost from the sacrifice that had been made. We're saved from the bondage of sin and death by the blood of Jesus, in which our hearts are bathed when we come in contact with it in the waters of baptism. When by faith we acknowledge Jesus and we repent of sins and are willing to confess His Lordship, and we are cleansed in His blood. We're cleansed in His blood. So just as Israel, when they had the blood on the doorpost, was spared from the judgment that came on Egypt, as children of God, when we are cleansed in the blood of Jesus, we are spared from the judgment that is coming on the world in which we live. If you need to respond, do that while we stand and sing.